Isabel. Somewhere between the Bahamas and Florida, 1994. 5 days from home. Isabel slipped over the side of the boat into the sea and sighed. The water was warm, but it felt much cooler than being in the boat. The sun was just setting on the western horizon, turning the world into a sepia-toned photograph, but it still had to be close to 100 degrees outside. If it wouldn't have swamped their boat and drowned them all for good, Isabel would have prayed for rain to break the muggy heat. Isabel's father had rigged up a makeshift sunshade out of his shirt for her mother, and she seemed better now. The aspirin had kept Mommy's fever down, and though she was still exhausted and near to bursting with Isabel's baby brother, she seemed at peace somehow. Hot, but at peace. If the rest of them wanted relief, they had to wait for their turn in the water. Again, Isabel thought of their journey as a song. If the riots and trading for the gasoline were the first verse, and the tanker and the storm the second verse, this part of their trip, the long, hot, stagnant day and a half they had been traveling from the Bahamas to Florida, this was the bridge. A third verse that was different from the others. This verse was death by slow measures. This was the down-tempo lull before the coming excitement of the climactic last verse and coda. This was limbo. They could do nothing but wait. The last sliver of sun finally disappeared below the waves, and Luis cut the engine. The world went silent, but for the soft lapping of water against the hull and the creak of their disintegrating boat.
"That's it," Luis said. "With the sun down, we won't be able to navigate as well."
"Can't we use the stars?" Isabel asked.
She remembered reading that sailors had used the stars to navigate for centuries.
"Which one?"
Luis asked. None of them knew.
Amara lifted one of the gasoline jugs and swished around what little there was left in it.
"Saves us gas, anyway," she said.
"The thing's been eating it up. We'll be lucky to have enough to get to shore when we see land."
"When will we get there?" Iván asked.
He was bobbing in the water just ahead of Isabel, hanging on to the hull like she was.
"Tomorrow, hopefully,"
Señor Castillo said from inside the boat. It was the same thing he'd said yesterday, and the day before that.
"Mañana,"
Isabel's grandfather whispered. He was treading water on the other side of the boat with Señora Castillo, his head just visible over the side. He'd been whispering that word off and on since yesterday, and still seemed shaken up somehow. Isabel didn't know why.
"We'll see the lights of Miami sometime tomorrow, and we'll head straight for it,"
Mommy said. She shifted and winced uncomfortably.
"What is it? Are you all right?"
Papi asked.
Isabel's mother put a hand on her belly.
"I think it's begun."
"What's begun?"
Papi asked.
Then his eyes went wide.
You mean the baby's coming? Here? Now?"
Everyone in the boat perked up, and Isabel and Iván pulled themselves up on the side of the boat to see. Isabel was a jumble of emotions. She was excited to see her brother born after waiting so long, but suddenly she was also afraid. Afraid for her mother to have the baby here, on this fragile raft in the middle of the ocean. And worried, too, for the first time, about how her baby brother would change her fragile family.
"Yes, I think I've gone into labor," Isabel's mother said calmly. "But no, I am not having the baby here and now. The contractions are just starting. It took Isabel another 10 hours to come after my contractions began, remember?"
Isabel had never heard her mother talk about her birth before, and she was both curious and a little weirded out at the same time.
"What are you going to name him?"
Iván asked. Mommy and Papi looked at each other.
"We haven't decided yet," she said.
"Well, I have some good ideas if you want some,"
Iván said.
We're not naming him after Industriales players, Isabel told him, and Iván stuck his tongue out at her.